The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
You again, talking about agriculture, innovation, and business, because of course we treat agriculture as a business here. Today's show is extended. We have two very special guests that will be joining us. We have Mr. Sean Bow, who is based in Guyana right now. Sean is the Program Manager for Agriculture Development coming out of the CARICOM Secretariat. So he is one of the persons best poised to tell us about this CARICOM 25 by 2025 initiative, which has been extended, of course, and a lot of the other agricultural programs that are happening through CARICOM initiatives. He is the person responsible for executing a lot of them, so he will tell us a lot about what is happening. And he will come on just about quarter past 10. Then coming on at 11:30, we have Miss Alyssa Whitcraft. Now, Alyssa is one of the executives, I believe, for NASA Acres. NASA itself has started to use some of the technology that they have to assist U.S. farmers. Those of you who would have tuned in last year would have known that we had a guest on the program out of Vancouver, a company named Verdi, that used satellites to fly over fields, monitor crop health, and then immediately send back details to automate things like irrigation, fertilizers, and more. She is one of the persons that is behind that type of technology, so she will be here to give us quite a bit of insight, and I think it's exciting to see how that is being implemented. And then the hope is that we'll see what is the potential for that to be applied into Caribbean agriculture. Now, as we have about 10 minutes to get our first guest, Mr. Sean Bow, in, we're gonna talk about what CARICOM is exactly. You know, the Caribbean Unity for Food and Future, pretty much. You know, what it is and what effect can they potentially have on the development of agriculture. So today we'll be diving into something that affects all of us, really. If you're a farmer in St. Vincent, or you're an exporter in Guyana, you're a policymaker in Barbados, or a shopkeeper in Trinidad, CARICOM, the Caribbean community, you know, what is it really, where did it come from, and most importantly, how is it helping or should be helping us to feed ourselves and build a stronger united region? So let's rewind the clock. CARICOM was born out of a dream that the Caribbean, despite its many languages, its colonial histories, its cultural differences, that we could be more than just a group of small islands and mainland territories scattered across the sea. Now, it could be a community, a place where we pool our resources, strengthen our voices, and build resilience together. It officially became into being on July 4th. In 1973, with the signing of the Treaty of Chagaramas in Trinidad and Tobago. And I mean, we always hear that term Treaty of Chagaramas, and it's referenced by our regional leaders. And it was signed by four people: Errol Barrow of Barbados, Forbes Burnham of Guyana, Michael Manley of Jamaica, and of course, Eric Williams of Trinidad and Tobago. Now, what was the goal? The goal was to deepen economic integration, coordinate foreign policy, and promote human and social development across member states. Over time, CARICOM expanded to 15 full members and 5 associate members. It's a community of about 19 million people today, and it stretches from Belize in Central America to Suriname and Guyana on the South American coast and across to the Bahamas in the north. But what has this community done for us lately? Especially when it comes to something as fundamental as food. And let's be real, we do have a problem in the Caribbean. We just import too much food. But you know, we're blessed with fertile lands, we have vibrant oceans, and a climate that lets us grow at least 3 crops a year. Yet, we are still importing over $5 billion of food every single year. And it's a figure that has been rising steadily. Some of the food that we import like wheat or apples, may not be produced easily here. But much of it, the onions, the carrots, the tomatoes, chicken, and even fish, can be. And often it is grown right here, but it just doesn't reach our local markets in the volumes or even the consistencies that we need. So, CARICOM stepped up. In 2022, they launched a bold initiative called the 25 by 2025 Agenda. And what was the target? Well, the goal was to reduce food imports by 25% by the year 2025. Again, I'm going to read that for you because it's something we've been mentioning here and it's something you have been hearing by all our global, by all our regional leaders whenever they meet. In 2022, they launched a bold initiative called the 25 by 2025 Agenda. The goal was to reduce food imports by 25% by the year 2025. And was it ambitious? Yes. Was it necessary? Absolutely. And why? Because food security is not just about eating local or waving the flag over cassava. It's about survival and it's about resilience in the face of hurricanes, global supply chain disruptions, and of course, pandemics. It's about keeping foreign exchange in our countries, building agricultural industries, creating jobs, and empowering youth and rural communities. COVID is one of the things that exposed just how much we are at risk. And I mean, I always say this, when COVID hit, I got a message asking me how much cassava flour we had in stock under the condition that if the world continued in the manner that it was going and food could not be imported into Trinidad, the powers that be wanted to know how much food did we have to know how much at risk we were. And we all made changes. We all spoke about the need to buy local. We all made changes in saying that we demand that we do better as a country. But it's 2025 and things are back to normal and we kind of forgot, which is pretty much what happens to us. So, let's see. How is CARICOM helping us get to a better state of food security? Well, first it's through trade integration. CARICOM established the CARICOM Single Market and Economy, or what we call it for short, CSME, that is the CARICOM Single Market and Economy, that allowed for the free movement of goods, services, capital, and skilled labor across the region. That means that if you are a farmer in St. Kitts, in theory, they should be able to sell their sweet potatoes in Barbados just as easily as they do at home. A manufacturer in Trinidad should be able to distribute agro-processed seasonings to Grenada without facing a mountain of paperwork or tariffs. But here's the truth. While the policy is sound, the execution hasn't always lived up to the promise. Non-tariff barriers, port inefficiencies, inconsistent standards, and protectionist instincts among member states often stand in the way of true regional trade. But still, there are glimmers of progress. Guyana, for instance, often called the breadbasket of the Caribbean, has committed thousands of acres to regional food production, and it's working with Barbados and Trinidad on joint farming projects. Belize is leading the charge on cattle exports. Suriname and Jamaica are looking into expanding aquaculture. The region is finally having the conversation about who grows what best and how can we move food across borders more efficiently. Secondly, CARICOM plays a pivotal and vital role in agricultural development. through agencies like CARDI, the Caribbean Agricultural Research and Development Institute, and partnerships with the FAO, AICA, and other global bodies, CARICOM coordinates research, funds, innovation, and supports farmers with climate smart agriculture, seed banks, pest control strategies, and agri-technology. They've also been vocal on the world stage about climate change, reminding global powers that the Caribbean may contribute the least to greenhouse gas emissions, but suffers the most through crop losses, saltwater intrusion, and more frequent natural disasters. But if we're being honest, Caribbean agriculture also needs an attitude adjustment. Too many of our youth see farming as punishment, not prosperity. That's a failure of culture, education, and leadership. And here again, CARICOM has a role to play in rebranding agriculture as a business, pushing policies that make financing more accessible, and creating regional mentorship, education, and entrepreneurship programs that get young people excited about the sector. CARICOM's strength is in its collective bargaining power. Whether it's negotiating trade deals with the EU, pressing for fair climate financing, or attracting international investment, there is power in unity. No single Caribbean country can stand toe-to-toe with global giants, but together our voices carry more weight. Together, we are more than 15 microstates. We are a block. We are a brand. And we are a vision for the future. So where does that lead us? Now, CARICOM is not perfect. We're far from it. It's been called a slow, bureaucratic, and even toothless at times. And yes, reforms are needed. We need faster decision-making, more accountability, and more urgency. But CARICOM is still ours. It is one of the few regional institutions born from our own Caribbean imagination for our own Caribbean needs. It is the table where we sit as equals, big or small, rich or poor. And in an age where food security is growing, where climate disasters are intensifying, and where global instability threatens our already fragile economies, CARICOM is not just a historical relic. It is a lifeline. So the next time you hear about a regional summit, a trade agreement, or a CARICOM agriculture initiative, don't just shrug it off. Pay attention, ask questions, and stay hopeful. Because the only way we get through this storm is together. And the only way we thrive is if we grow what we eat, eat what we grow, and trade with each other like family, not competitors. So, we are a Caribbean people, and very shortly, we are going to have Mr. Sean Bohr joining us on agribusiness innovation. Sean, of course, is one of the program managers coming out of the CARICOM Secretariat based in Guyana. And Sean will be telling us all about the initiatives that are happening through CARICOM, some of which you may have heard before, some of which you may have just not known existed. But he is going to give us the insights as to what exactly is happening, what are some of the challenges, and ideally, some of the progress that is happening that is going to make us understand, sometimes, you know, we're just not aware of the things that are going on and the progress that's being made. And I do think that progress is being made on that side. So Sean will be with us shortly. Sean will be with us shortly, and we're going to go to a quick commercial break in order for us to transition into Sean when we get back.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
You're tuning right here to Freedom 106.5 FM. And of course, we're here chatting with our agribusiness innovation host, Mr. Jody White. And it's back to you.
Of course. Now, Sean is, again, program manager out of the CARICOM Secretariat, and with an important position like that, sometimes you have some pressing matters that just have to be taken care of before you can move on to the next. So Sean will be joining us very shortly. But in the meanwhile, our phone lines are open, 625-2257 or 627-3223. Or you can WhatsApp us at 306-1065. Again, 625-2257 or 627-3223. We are talking about CARICOM, and we are talking about its role in developing agriculture. So if you have something to input in there, feel free to give us a call. And of course, joining us at 11:30, we have Miss Alyssa Whitcraft, who's going to come on to talk to us about satellites and agriculture and how it can be applied in the Caribbean context. It's a technology that I didn't know could be done before until I had our guest last year. And so understanding how that will work in a Caribbean climate is going to be quite interesting. Now, moving on, let's shift gears from CARICOM's foundation and principles to the real tangible initiatives that are changing lives across the Caribbean, especially when it comes to food security and regional trade. The CARICOM 25 by 2025 initiative was one of the most ambitious and transformative programs under CARICOM today. It aimed to reduce extra-regional food imports by 25% by the year 2025. So extra-regional, outside, not talking about trade in between countries with CARICOM. Now, why does this matter? Of course, as we said, we import over $5 billion in food every year, and that's money leaving our economies, while many of our farmers struggle to get market access. And those of you who know, go to the banks, it's hard to get US dollars. This is one of the reasons why our money is actually leaking out of the economy. But change is happening. Now, Guyana has taken the lead, designating itself the regional food hub. They're rapidly expanding rice, corn, and soya production, investing in irrigation and agri-infrastructure, hosting regional agri-investment forums that are attracting partners from Africa, Latin America, and the Gulf. Now, last year, we would have brought you coverage of one of those, actually, coming out of Guyana, CIF 2024, I believe. We actually partnered with our sister station in Guyana to bring you coverage of that event, I believe, over 2 to 3 days. And I was one of the speakers there for one of the agricultural panels as well. The focus was on technology and agriculture, food security. Now, moving on, Barbados has also made headlines with its Eat What We Grow campaign, where local chefs, influencers, and supermarkets are part of the push to change food consumption habits and support local farmers. And those of you who have not been to Barbados recently, Barbados marketing agriculture arm actually has a couple of stores. And if you go into those stores, you can actually buy agro-processed products that are made there in Barbados. You could get sweet potato cakes and cassava this and that. They also have a lot of recipes there on site, encouraging people to come in, buy, and make it yourself at home. And what's interesting is that it's not cheaper than, say, the pure wheat alternatives, but they do get the locals to actually purchase a lot of it. In Barbados as well, there is Purity Bakery, I believe, that actually has breads that's made from cassava, and I believe that it's very well received by the population. Going on to Jamaica, it has increased support for protected agriculture, greenhouses, hydroponics, and vertical farms, boosting yield and resilience to climate shocks. These are not just ideas on paper. They're actually working. Protected agriculture is one of those things in the Caribbean that it's good, but it's a challenge. It's good in the sense that as it's getting hotter, as we're getting more pests, having protected agriculture helps to maintain a certain level of food security. But it is one of those things that the systems aren't easily implemented. You have to really have the experience and know how to get it done properly. It is also quite expensive because it's difficult to replace farms 3 to 4 to 5 acres inside with just a greenhouse. I mean, it's difficult to build them to that size. It's very expensive. You have to have the capital to do it. And many times, the average farmer that would go out to plant 5 acres of corn is not going to have the capital available to him to go and create this greenhouse to replicate that. So there are challenges necessary, but again, as we said, there are challenges in us just doing that. So the CARICOM Food, Agri-Food Distribution and Logistics Task Force. This was another bold move that was the creation of this Agri-Food Distribution and Logistics Task Force, which addressed a major barrier to regional food trade, which was transportation and logistics. As an exporter myself, it is easier and it is cheaper to send a container from Trinidad to Miami than it is to send a container from Trinidad to Barbados. Can we imagine I actually paid less to send it there? Less documentation was also needed to send a container to Miami. It was easier to send it to Miami than it was to send to Guyana. So there are these logistical challenges. And I guess one of the things is economics, in that we have ships that sail consistently Trinidad to Miami, Trinidad to New York. But we don't yet have the amount of trade among Caribbean countries that can support inter-island trade easily. When it comes to operating these big ships, these big levels of infrastructure, you need a certain amount of volume. And if we don't have that, it's difficult to put it in place. So this task force was kind of put together to figure out how can this be done. For too long, it was cheaper to import chicken from the US than from a neighboring island. And this task force is solving that, mapping inter-island supply chains and encouraging inter-island shipping networks, improved cold storage, and harmonized food safety standards. Each country tends to have its own standard in what is required for putting food on the shelf. What types of labs are accepted, what do you need to have on your label, ingredients, the size of the font, expiration dates. What is accepted in one country may not be accepted in another. Some countries are a bit more lenient than others with what could go on the shelf. I remember going to St. Vincent and seeing cayenne peppers being grown and sold in a supermarket in Ziploc bags. Small scale farmers, of course, but those being sent here in that type of packaging would not be accepted. So I believe that creating these standards and communicating them amongst all nations in CARICOM is one of the more important things that needed to be done in order for us to better facilitate trade. A pilot route between Suriname, Guyana, Trinidad, and Barbados is already in development, cutting time, cost, and carbon emissions. Again, the pilot route is between Suriname, Guyana, Trinidad, and Barbados. Now, CARICOM is also ramping up its support for innovation and sustainability through the CARICOM Agricultural Health and Food Safety Agency. The CARICOM Agricultural Health and Food Safety Agencies. These countries are working together to harmonize standards for things like pesticide use, animal health, and organic certification. And this allows smoother trade and better protection for consumers. The organic is actually a big one, and it's because whenever you put organic on a product, you can demand more money. Organic is supposed to mean not pesticide-free, but the use of specific pesticides which are deemed more natural. And because the use of the term is not regulated, it is used liberally, even in cases where organic is not certified. An organic certification could actually be a little bit complex. If you have a farm and you aren't using specific pesticides, great. But is the neighbor's farm across the road from you, upwind, using it? So when he sprays, it goes across to yours. The farmland that you are planting on, because you didn't use pesticides or those specific pesticides in your crop this season, but you used it last season, the pesticide residue might still be there and not qualify you to be an actual organic product. But because that there is no certification locally or in the region, other than if you would have brought in a third party certifying body out of the EU or out of the States, then you can pretty much put it on a packaging and it's not limited. And it's up to people to determine whether it is organic or not. I know we have two farms locally right now in the field of cocoa that have achieved organic certifications out of the EU, I believe, which allow them to export and get a higher price for what they sell because they have that certification. It is difficult, it is expensive, and you have to have a certain level of scale to make it worthwhile, but it is something that is actually being looked at. Another success story is Dominica's hot pepper export program. And by aligning with regional and international standards, Dominican farmers have been able to secure long-term contracts with markets in Europe and North America, while CARICOM-supported labs ensured that their products met the phytosanitary standards required for export. Now, of course, if you want to jump in, this is pretty much an open program right now while we wait on Sean to complete his very important activities that are happening there at the CARICOM Secretariat. Our phone line is open at 625-2257 or 627-3223. If you have any input at all, anything you want to say on the topic, feel free, give us a call. We look out for your input. Now, what about youth and women in agriculture? Another key input is investment in youth and women-led agribusiness, right? From AgriHack Caribbean to youth agripreneur boot camps in St. Lucia and Antigua, CARICOM agencies are supporting a new generation of food innovators, creating apps, launching food startups, and modernizing agro processing. In Trinidad and Tobago, a youth-led project on aquaponics won regional support to scale up, integrating fish farming and vegetable production in a sustainable loop. Now they supply hotels and restaurants, cut import dependence, and create jobs. So, Sean is actually going to be talking to us as well on one of these technology initiatives that are happening, I believe, to connect farmers with buyers. Sean just contacted me to say he is actually logging on over there, so we will be seeing him in the next couple of minutes, right? So CARICOM, when we talk about it, we're not just talking about politics and summits. We're actually talking about regional transformation in action. The future of Caribbean development isn't just in policies, but in its people, its partnerships, and in planting the seeds today for a more food secure, resilient, and prosperous tomorrow. And it's not perfect, but it is definitely progressing. And these stories are definitely the beginning. So, of course, coming in at 11:30, we have Miss Alyssa Whitcraft coming in to talk to us about technology in agriculture, the implementation and the usage of satellites to help agriculture. Satellites monitoring fields to determine what is happening. And from a guest from Verity the last time, Verity was using these satellites in order to fly over and monitor the fields. Now, I think we're going to drop into a quick commercial break again. We're going to sort out with Sean to have him connected to us in studio from Guyana. And we will be back with him. So stay tuned.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.